In the name of our all-loving God, creator, redeemer, and sustainer. Today's collect is one of the most famous in the prayer book. It was written by Archbishop Thomas Cranmer, compiler of the first English prayer book, Book of Common Prayer, in 1549. These words, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest, have become code words of sorts to draw attention to something important, to commend something to another's attention. So how do we read, mark, and inwardly digest the Holy Scriptures? Today's gospel presents a picture of Jesus heading toward his passion and death. It has come to be understood as a warning about Jesus' second coming, an event the first century Christians thought was imminent. In a nutshell, the text tells us things are bad, they're going to get worse, and you'll be okay. According to the first century historian Josephus, the Jerusalem temple of Jesus' day was an awe-inspiring wonder. Herod reportedly used so much gold to cover the walls that anyone who gazed at it was blinded. The temple symbolized God's presence, so Jesus' prediction that the days will come when there will be not one stone left upon another must have sounded like the end of the world. It's important for us to know that Jesus' words in the gospel were not taken down as dictation. They are remembered words, written down from the community's memory by Luke about 50 years after Jesus spoke them. We're in 2019. Can you remember what was said or happened 50 years ago? For some of us, 1969 was even before we were born. What I remember, Nixon was president, the Vietnam War was raging and creating all kinds of dissent, and I was in seminary. That's about all I remember. Jesus speaks these words. They're recorded 50 years later. These words and others attributed to Jesus are distributed, remembered, and revered as authentic or not, a process which took the church almost 300 years to clarify. It became what we call the canon of Holy Scripture. And so these words that we read in the Gospels and elsewhere throughout the Bible have been tested and authenticated and revered and proclaimed down through the centuries. We call the Bible our Holy Scripture, both because of its sources, the people and the events where God has inspired and intervened, and because the words have been made holy by the people of God who've looked to the Bible down through the centuries as the voice of the living God, continually to convert and to nourish and to transform us. So how are we to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest the holy texts we read? Episcopalians are Bible-believing Christians. We understand that the Holy Scriptures are to be read with faith and with investigative and curious minds. The Bible is a book of faith, of revelation of God's love for humankind. It is not a geography text, nor a history book, nor a science text. The Bible includes various writings of law, history, wisdom, the words and works of Jesus, and letters and visions. The particular type of literature will inform how we read and understand what we're reading. That presumes that we will use our minds and do our homework. Like with today's gospel, we need to know something of the historic context. If we don't know the context, it's very easy to misconstrue what was said or what was intended. We're called to pay attention to the integrity of the text. By that I mean hearing the words in the Bible as how they relate to other words and other teachings and other understandings of the Bible. Otherwise, you can make the Bible say just about anything you want it to by cutting and pasting phrases and selected words like, "Judas went out and hanged himself, go and do likewise." The Bible can be used to justify almost anything. And we can see through history how the Bible was used as a principal defense for slavery, for the mistreatment of Native Americans, for the subjugation of women. Down through the centuries, an appalling number of crusades and wars and genocides have been justified by using the authority, the pseudo-authority of the Bible. This is called proof texting. Likewise, we often need to make the distinction between what is to be understood literally, like Jesus telling us to forgive our enemies, and what is to be understood not literally, but truly. The Bible contains a lot of metaphoric language. When Jesus says he's the good shepherd and we are sheep, or when he says that he's a vine and we're branches, he's speaking metaphorically. I'm not a sheep, I'm not a vine, nor are you. Metaphors point to the truth. Just as in Jesus' teachings in parables, they're stories. Stories which reveal a profound truth. In the book of Genesis, we read the account of creation, which is a story. It's not literal. To try to make it literal will only diminish the truth. The truth being conveyed is that God is the creator of everything that was and is and shall be. We also need to use our minds to understand what kind of literature we're reading in the Bible. The Bible includes writings of law and history and wisdom sayings and biography and poetry and songs and prophecies. The words and works of Jesus, and letters and visions. A particular type of literature will inform how we read and understand what we're reading. For example, if we're reading something from the book of Daniel in the Old Testament or the Revelation to John in the New Testament, we're reading dream language, which will be as majestic, perhaps as surreal or bizarre as our own dreams. It's symbolic language. What that symbol means, and what did that symbol mean in its original context, and how that symbol translates for today's world. We also need an approach to the Bible that has integrity with what is present and what is missing, given the time we live in. There's nothing in the scripture about nuclear armament, nor global warming. We could make a long list of what isn't in the Bible. Likewise, we may find any number of teachings in the Bible that do not speak truth to us today. Jesus speaks a number of times about slavery as a given. That teaching in its context has to be interpreted. We also read things about women, about their place and their role and their subordination to men. And we can read about divorce and remarriage. We also read about politics. And it's important to remember that throughout the Bible, God's politics are always to champion the poor, the underprivileged, the marginalized in society. The words of this collect are a reminder that we are called into relationship with the Bible and urged to study and integrate the text into our very being. Our tradition is to revere the scriptures and to understand that they must be both interpreted and viewed alongside the other ways of God's revelation, to understand the authority as a graceful interaction between scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. Scripture plus tradition. Tradition which recognizes that the people of God were following, obeying, and worshiping God before they had a biblical text, before they had what we have called the Bible. Tradition also recognizes how the church has historically made sense and understood the Bible. Scripture plus tradition plus reason. Reason recognizes that we've been created with minds to think and hearts to discern. We don't go brain dead when we read the Holy Scriptures. We need not hesitate to use our intellects given to us by God as we approach the Scriptures. Scripture plus tradition plus reason plus experience. Experience is what it is. How does what you are reading in the Scriptures ring true to your own life experience? And if not, then what? The Anglican approach is to be on good speaking terms with Scripture, tradition, reason, and experience. The bottom line of the Bible is that God loves us, God loves humankind, and wants to be in relationship with all persons. That's its ultimate truth. We read the Bible hopefully to be transformed into more loving, caring, more godlike persons. We are reminded as we read that all human beings are made in the image and likeness of God, and we are all part of the same family. The Scriptures offer a treasure of guidance, strength, hope, and comfort. The Scriptures are meant to be read seriously and critically. They're also worthy to be read devotionally. And so our prayer at the outset of the liturgy. To inwardly digest the Scriptures will take a lifetime, and there is a treasury to be gleaned.